Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he putteth his hand to, it shall prosper. Now, we were discussing that statement, he shall be like a tree. And, of course, we alluded to the Lord's use of parables, taking that which is well-known, a story or a circumstance that his auditors identified readily. And from that, he taught spiritual principles of truth. So let's take that statement, he shall be like a tree, and ask the question, what kind of timber am I? And you ask yourself that question. What kind of timber are you? Interesting, isn't it? We mentioned Noah's gopher tree and some of its qualities. It had the ability to save souls, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 20. Oh, but we noted also the tremendous strength of gopher wood. It bore the burden of the whole world. And what was it Paul said to me as a member of the body of Christ, a follower of Jesus, one who claims to be a Christian, that is, like Christ? Oh, he said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Not a perfect person among us. We're all growing. Through the study and application of God's Word every day, we become more and more like Him whom we love and whom we serve. And so there needs to be a tenderness, a genuine care, a sacrificial disposition that reaches out to brethren that find themselves in negative circumstances. You know, we don't all have the same background. We don't all function in the same environment. No, sir. Some of us are blessed. Some of us are on the sunlit peaks. Everything is working well. Well, sure, we get older. Hey, you have a pain once in a while. But hey, that's not only to be expected, but anticipated. If Paul said, for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Hey, we're getting closer to that time of going home. Well, that's fine, viewed in light of God's Word. Oh, but many times that environment, marriages have difficulties, shouldn't, but they do. Children are sometimes wayward, shouldn't be, but they are. Financial circumstances sometimes create problems for men and women. We just don't know the background of our brother. What did you say, Paul? One named a brother be overtaken on a fault. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking unto yourself, lest you also be tempted. And then he said in verse 2 there, Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the way we fulfill the law of Christ, by being Christian. We read his word and find him doing nothing for himself. What's he doing? He's serving me. He died to redeem my soul. He set a perfect example for me to follow. Everything he did was for the salvation of the souls of unworthy men and women, such as I. Oh, well, that's to be the disposition of my mind. That's to be the conduct in which I am engaged, being at service for those who are less fortunate. I mean, extending a helping hand, sharing the good news, helping those who may be in a materially depressed circumstance. That's why Jesus came. That's what Christianity is all about. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But notice that statement. He shall be like a tree. Let me ask you this. Are you like old Jonah's gourd tree? Someone said, preacher, man, you live in Tennessee, and you think gourds grow on trees? Gourds grow on vines. Friend, if it's a vine, it will serve our purpose. But the scholars tell us this was probably of the palm family. But if it's a vine, it'll serve our purpose. But you remember the story of Jonah, do you not? Jonah was a prophet of God. He wrote a little book, has four chapters, but God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach, teach them, give them my word. Wait. Nineveh, friend, that is the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the avowed enemies of Israel. In that day, you killed your enemies. You eliminated them. Yes. Jonah didn't intend to go and preach God's word to the Ninevites. He knew that God was merciful. God is gracious. God is forgiving. And if these people should listen to what he had to say, God would forgive. He wanted God to destroy them. He didn't intend to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. So he went to Joppa and booked passage on a ship headed for Tarshish. He doesn't intend. He's leaving there. He's running. Friend, that ship didn't get out of the harbor until a strong wind beat down on the sea. Man, that thing began to rock and to carry on. And the seasoned seamen who conducted the affairs of that ship began to throw the freight out. I mean, to lighten the burden. They're concerned. Old Jonah, he's down below decks sound asleep. Captain went down, bawled him out, and said, get up here and pray to your God. We got problems, fella. Anyway, they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now, these were boys, the seamen, who, of course, manned the ship, had been praying to their idol gods, and they're concerned. They're sincere. But they said then to Jonah when the lot fell, what's the problem? Who are you? And Jonah explained, I'm an Israelite, and I'm fleeing from the God who made the earth and the sea, and et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and these men are concerned. Well, what can we do? Well, old Jonah said, just pick me up and chunk me. In other words, throw me overboard and the sea will become calm. Well, they don't want to do that. That's not their nature. These are not bad men, per se. They rowed with all their might. They did everything within their power to get back to some position of security in the lee of an island. Now the wind became stronger. So they prayed earnestly that they might not be guilty, and they picked old Jonah up, threw him overboard. God prepared a great fish that swallowed Jonah. And friend, there are several lessons to be learned here. And one of them is, it doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstances are, if you're a child of God, as Jonah was, even if you find yourself in the belly of a whale, in the depths of the ocean, pray to God. God will always hear. There's no question. Jonah prayed to God. Whale? I don't know if it's a whale or not. It was a whale of a fish, I know, because it swallowed Jonah. Oh, but God prepared that particular fish for this specific purpose. Well, when Jonah prayed to God, that fish spit him out on the shore. And, it's rather interesting because it bespeaks human nature. I remember my dad in giving instructions and so on, and sometimes you didn't want to do what he said, and sometimes you didn't see any sense in it. But about the second time he said that, you saw a whole lot more sense in it. Jonah, go to Nineveh and declare unto this people, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Jonah, are you going to go down to Joppa? Book passage on a ship headed for Tarshish? Oh, Jonah took off. I mean, he went to Nineveh. And this is a great city. It takes 3 days to walk across it. There were 120,000 people there, didn't know the right hand from the left. I mean, obviously, children. Innocent babes. Well, old Jonah entered a day's journey into that city. And he cried aloud, yet 40 days, and none of us shall be destroyed. He preached that message from one end of that city to the other. Yet 40 days, and none of us shall be destroyed. That's an interesting thought. Let's draw some conclusions here. The people that heard him repented. Even the king stepped down from his throne, disrobed himself with regard to robes of royalty. He put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. I mean, every person that heard him, wait a minute. You know, people say today, what we need is more positive preaching. Boy, I agree with that. Yes, sir. I remember what Paul said also, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He said, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, negative. Rebuke, negative. And exhort, positive. Wait a minute. This is inspiration telling you the kind of preaching that should be done. Right. Then that's positive preaching, right? And positive preaching is two-thirds negative. Sin needs to be identified. Yes, sir. I need to be rebuked for my sins. That's what parents are for. Rebuke their children when they violate the house rules. I think we understand that. Yes, sir. Old Noah went down to Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh should be destroyed. Let me tell you something about positive preaching. Every word he said was negative. He hated every person that he spoke to, and every person that heard him repented. What do you do in positive preaching? You do what God said. You preach God's word. Not what I think God might have said, and I need to remind him, or not a, you know, modifying of divine revelation so that it appeals to, no, sir, preach the word. Preach the word. You know, sometimes people get the idea, well, now, you know, people just won't respond. What did you say, Paul? I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. That's it. Jonah, what did you preach in Nineveh? He preached what God said. What's that? Yet 40 days, none of us will be destroyed. Now, the interesting thing is that when old Jonah had finished this preaching, he went out east of the city, and built himself a little shelter type thing, you know, from the burning desert sun. And the record says that in one night, God caused a gourd to grow. And you can imagine the moisture from the leaves and the shelter it provided from the sun. Friends, that vine held great promise for Noah, protecting him from the sun. But in one night, God prepared a little worm that destroyed all of the potential good of that vine. Isn't that something? You know, that vine reminds me of Saul, the first king over united Israel. Saul was an outstanding man, amazing. He was from the shoulders upward taller than the average Israelite, but that's not important. He was a humble man. When they were going to anoint him king, God had to tell him where he was. He had hidden himself among the baggage. And then let me tell you, he proved himself a warrior. He led Israel against their enemies. He was a remarkable man. Oh, that vine, that gourd tree, if you will, had great potential, did it not? A great promise. It looked a little worm destroyed its good. That's right. Well, Saul was a great man. And you remember in your study of this that the little worm of envy, jealousy, destroyed great Saul. Friends, it doesn't take a big sin to destroy us. Now, we don't have many people guilty of adultery and perversion and murder. And No. All those things happen occasionally. We understand that, and they have to be dealt with, but that's not a big problem in the Lord's church. No. I have to guard against that little worm of sin that will destroy me. To take a big sin. If I allow jealousy or envy to enter my heart, it will destroy me just as effectively as any tremendous sin that you could mention. Sin is sin, and some of it is even more poisonous than others. Why did Saul lose his effectiveness as king over Israel? Envy, jealousy of David. He sought to kill him. It destroyed him. And Saul's sin and weakness brought weakness to the armies of Israel. They couldn't meet the Philistines. They couldn't do their job well. They needed a positive leader, as Saul had been before he allowed the little worm of sin, envy and jealousy, to destroy him. Surely we'll not be like that vine. Surely we'll not let these little things enter in and destroy our effectiveness. I heard one time of a lady who came in the church building with a handkerchief over her face, holding it this way. And after the service, the preacher had observed her coming in. And as she went out, he said, "I'm sorry that you have a toothache today." She said, "What?" They said, "I'm sorry about your toothache." She said, "What do you mean? I don't have a toothache." He said, "Well, I saw you come in with that handkerchief over it." "Oh," she said, "oh, so-and-so sits on that side, and I didn't want to see her." Oh, friend, that's far from Christianity. If we aren't careful, we let that little worm of sin destroy us. Not a big sin, just those little things. Sometimes we don't even think it's bad. You know, that's just the way it is. It'll destroy you. It will ruin you. What kind of timber are you? Are you like Zacchaeus' sycamore tree? You remember in Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich, and he desired to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, for he was short of stature. Oh, and he went on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass by that way. Now, let's stop right there. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't, for he was short of stature. Now, nothing wrong with being short of stature. That's fine. We have short people, tall people, in between, all of them. But no, let's make a point here. He was short. Friends, there are many people today who can't see Jesus in the spiritual sense because they are short spiritually, short religiously. You remember those people that we've noted many, many times in Matthew 7, verse 21, beginning? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many will come unto me in that day and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, teach in thy name? In thy name cast out demons? In thy name do many mighty works?" Now, friends, here are some fine folk. This is the scene of the judgment that the Lord sets. And they're going to stand there having been deeply religious, very sincere, totally dedicated. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did he say to these people? Oh, verse 23, he said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Well, Lord, how is it that these people who have taught in your name, who have cast out demons, they've done many mighty works in your name, how is it that you do not know them? Friends, there are so many people in the religious world today who have never come into covenant relationship with the Lord. How do you do that? Friends, you have to, by faith, wash away your sins in baptism. In Romans 6, of course, 3 through 7. Oh, that baptism puts you into Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. Now, salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2, 10. Out of Christ, there is no hope. Yes, but somebody says, "I believe in Christ," so does the devil, and he shudders about it. Yes, but I've done a lot of good works, and that's wonderful, and you're to be commended for that, and that's great. Yes, but we've taught the Lord's name, friends. If you don't know him, if you're not in Christ, none of that avails anything. Now, all of that's good if indeed you know the Lord. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you stand in the day of judgment out of Christ, then you're lost, because salvation is in Christ. And I think we understand that. Many today in the religious world are short religiously. Yes, but even in the Lord's church, there are some also who are short. Paul said, you remember, or the writer of Hebrews, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. You have need that someone should teach you again these which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Milk is for babes. Solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So there are some in the church who do not study God's Word on a regular basis, and they are short knowledge-wise. They have not embraced the totality of God's will simply because they have not studied it. And basically, they're not growing therein because they're not putting it into practice. When the reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone should teach you again these which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Friends, by reason of use, we mature, we develop. So there are people who are short today religiously in this old world, and there are some in the church who are short religiously also. But then, why was it that this short gentleman could not see crowd? Oh, the crowd hindered him. They're taller than he. Oh, but in a spiritual sense, friends, the crowd will hinder you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Yes. Oh, well, now somebody says, I can go and run with them, and I'll do this with them, and they're my buddies, but it won't happen. Be not deceived. What was it our text said? Blessed, happy is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, that's the way to happiness. There's no question about that. And don't be deceived. Evil companions will corrupt good morals. They will hinder you from getting a clear perspective of Jesus Christ. This whole world, overseen by Satan, is working to bring about the eternal destruction of your immortal soul. Christ wants you to be saved. Then I need to focus properly upon those things that have to do with my eternal welfare. Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He meditates day and night upon the Word of God. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the crowd, for he was short of stature. But he went on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Ah, let me ask you, friend, are you like that sycamore tree? That is, are you by your example, by your teaching, by your attitude, by your manner of life, are you lifting men above the heads of the crowd? That's so important. That's why we're here. That's what the church in this whole world is all about. Lifting men above the heads of the crowd, giving them a clear perspective of Him who died to redeem their souls. I need to, by my life and through my teaching, lift men above the heads of the crowd. It is so important. Believing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, I've given my life to Him. I have acknowledged that He is indeed the Son of God, as that eunuch did, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Made up my mind no longer to walk in sin. I want to be like Him who died to redeem my soul. I have repented. And thus, I was baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, that removed the old man of sin, Paul explained in Romans chapter 6. Yes, but from this point on, that question could be examined more closely. What kind of timber are you? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God will supply the nourishment that we need. God will supply the means of getting His work done in this whole world. What He needs from me is a dedicated heart and a willing hand. Help me then to reach out to the lost. That's the work of the church, exemplifying the eternal principles contained in God's Word, not only toward one another, overtaken on a fault, one named a brother. What's that? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And yet, looking at the world, understanding that each person, no matter how bad, is an immortal soul. He is one for whom Jesus Christ gave His life. And friends, we need to reach out. with the truth of God. That's what the church is about in this whole world. It is the Lord's mission effort to bring men into a right relationship with His Son, that they may stand justified through the application of His blood. Wonderful indeed. When I think about this whole thing, timber, what kind of tree, what kind of timber am I? Am I a source of strength to those about me? And do I have that quality of gopher wood, bearing the burden of the whole world? Do I have that quality of endurance, despite the impact of Satan's influence upon my life from every direction? Because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Lord, help each of us through the study and application of these eternal principles to be like you are, to live our lives in the service of others, to give ourselves for the betterment of humanity. Help us to realize the design, the overall purpose of your church, your body in this whole world. May God help.